Will you please turn to Exodus? Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. We'll read from verse 1 through verse 6. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am Jehovah thy God, who have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make thyself any graven image, or any form of what is in the heavens above, or what is in the earth beneath, or what is in the waters under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, Jehovah, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the sons to the third and to the fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. Hear, Israel, Jehovah our God is one Jehovah, and thou shalt love Jehovah thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength. Matthew, the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 4. We'll read from verse 8 through verse 10. Matthew chapter 4, verse 8. Again the devil takes him to a very high mountain, and shows him all the kingdoms of the world, and their glory, and says to him, All these things will I give thee, if falling down thou wilt do me homage. Then saith Jesus to him, Get thee away, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt do homage to the Lord thy God, and him alone shalt thou serve. Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, verses 8 and 9. And I, John, was he who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to do homage before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. And he says to me, See, thou do it not. I am thy fellow bondman, and the fellow bondman of thy brethren the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book, do homage to God, or worship God. May we look to the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, how we praise and thank Thee, that we may come to Thee through Thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, we do praise and thank Thee that through Thy Son we can worship Thee, we can adore Thee, and we can love Thee and serve Thee. So we do thank Thee for this high privilege that Thou hast given to us. We only pray that, Lord, that we may really worship Thee as we ought, because Thou art so worthy. In the name of our Lord Jesus, amen. We have been considering these days on this matter of worship. Now, the word worship in Hebrew means bow self down. You bow yourself down. And the word worship in Greek means to kiss the sun. And of course, the word in English, worship, is from the old form worship. That is, he is so worthy that we must worship Him. Now this morning we come to the end of our meditation this time on worship. Of course there's no end to worship. And that is worship and warfare. We know that worship is the issue of the conflicts of the ages. God and his adversary, Satan, fight over this issue of worship. Who is to be worshipped? And we human beings are the battlefield. We are not only the battlefield of worship, but we are the deciding factor in that battle. Will man worship God? Or will man worship the adversary? We are created as a worshiping creature. The instinct of worship is within us. We know that we are inadequate. We know that we must worship someone who is outside of us and yet is greater, higher, mightier than us. And being created by God, it is but right and natural for us to worship God. If we worship God, we will find our fulfillment. But unfortunately, there is an enemy. And this enemy is trying to steal that worship which is God's due. He is trying to lead us away from worship God into worshiping Him. And that's the reason why you'll find today worship is the center of a tremendous conflict that is going on in this world. After God created Adam, He put man in the Garden of Eden. He gave everything to man, for man to enjoy, but on one condition. And the condition was that man must obey Him. Of all the trees in the garden, God said, thou may freely eat. And that includes the tree of life. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat. Because on the day that thou shalt eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, why does God put this limitation upon man? Of course, there are many reasons. But one of the reasons is, God put man under a condition of obedience to show man that God is God, that God is to be worshipped. In obeying the commandment of God, man worships God, because we know that worship is a form. Obedience is a form of worship. How do we worship God if not by obeying Him? By obeying His commandments. So God put man under that one condition of obedience, because man was created as a worshiper. But we know Satan came in. He himself was one who tried to share God's glory and God's worship. You remember in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, those words that concern Lucifer, that archangel, how he fell from heaven, how he was cast out from the presence of God. Because he said, I will ascend to the heavens. I will exalt my throne above the stars. I will sit in the Mount of Assembly, in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like God. In other words, you find this archangel. He aspired to be equal with God. He wanted to share God's glory. He wanted to receive the worship that was God's due. And because of that, he became Satan, the adversary of God. He was cast out from heaven. And now you'll find Satan came into the garden to tempt man. Outwardly, he was suggesting to man that if they should eat the forbidden fruit, they will be like God. In other words, they will receive the glory. They could worship themselves. They did not need to worship God. But actually, if man began to worship himself, man was actually worshiping the devil. How subtle was that temptation? Because outwardly, Satan was trying to say, you don't need to worship God. You can be sufficient in yourself. You don't need to obey anybody. You are the master. You can worship yourself. You will get all the glory. And what a temptation it was. But falling into that temptation was falling into the trap. Why? Because you think you're worshiping yourself. You're actually worshiping Satan, the devil. Unfortunately, man fell. And because of that, you find throughout the ages, this matter of worship, whom will man worship, becomes an issue. From the day of Adam until our days, worship is the issue of the universe. Will man worship God? Or will they worship Satan by worshiping themselves? If man is to worship God, and that's what man should do, Satan will try every way to take that worship away. He will attack. He will use every trick he has, trying to deceive man into giving him the worship instead of giving God worship. In the Old Testament, you'll find cases after cases when man is on God's side. He is worshiping God. He will be attacked by the enemy. But thank God, God's grace is sufficient. For instance, Job. Job was a man who was upright. He feared God. One day, Satan appeared before God. And God said, where have you been? And he said, I'm going to and fro throughout the whole earth. Now, he was not just traveling as a tourist. He was observing very carefully as a devouring lion trying to devour. And God said, did you notice my servant Job? Upright, fear God, abstain from all evil? In other words, Job was a worshiping person. He was one who worshiped God. Now, of course, Satan noticed that. So Satan said, now, is there no reason why Job will worship you? It is because you put a hedge around him. You protect him. You bless him. You give him much. If you take these things away from him, see if he will curse you at your face. I'll say, all right. I will take the hedge off. You may do anything you want to, except his life. And you remember one day, Satan attacked him again and again, and took everything away from him, not only all his properties, but even all his children. He was just left with himself and his wife. But the Bible said, Job said, it is God who gives. It is God who takes away. I come out naked, and I shall return naked. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Then another day, Satan again appeared before the Lord, and the Lord said, now what do you say? What will you say? And Satan said, life for life, skin for skin. If you touch his body, he will curse you. God said, fine. You can do it, but you cannot take away his life. So he was attacked with a grievous bulge from the head to the heel. And Job sat in the ashes and scraped himself with potsherd. And even his wife said, curse God and die. And Job said, we receive good from God. Shall we not also receive evil? And here you'll find a man who worshiped God. Who worshiped God in prosperity. And worshiped God in adversity. Why? It is because God was worthy to be worshipped. You remember the story of Daniel's three friends? God revealed to Nebuchadnezzar that he was the golden head. But somehow Nebuchadnezzar took it wrongly. He made a golden image of himself and made a proclamation that all the nations, all the people, when the music was made, everyone must bow and worship the image. In other words, by worshiping the image, they will be worshiping Nebuchadnezzar. He didn't know that it was Satan who really received the worship. But the three friends of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they wouldn't do that. Why? Because they worshiped the one and only God. And it was reported to the king. So the king called these three men to him and said, didn't you hear the music? I will give you another chance. When the music was made, worship the image. If not, then you must be thrown into the fiery furnace. And you remember the three friends of Daniel said, concerning the matter, there is nothing to discuss or negotiate. It is already settled. We cannot worship your image because we worship only God. And we believe that God is still able to save us, to deliver us from the furnace and deliver us from your hand. And the king was so angry. He made the furnace sevenfold hot and threw them into the furnace. But the fire only burned up the bondage. And the Son of Man appeared in that furnace walking with these three men. And you remember Daniel too. In the time of King Darius, how the people were envious of Daniel. They couldn't find any fault with Daniel. He was one of the prime ministers, or the prime minister. And yet they couldn't find any fault with him. So finally they say there's only one way to find fault with him, in his worshiping God. So they persuaded King Darius by working up his ego. During those 30 days, nobody could ask anything from anybody but King Darius. You cannot pray to God or gods or ask any favor from anybody but from King Darius, because King Darius is the greatest. And of course, King Darius was pleased with it. He sealed the decree, and there was Daniel. When he heard about it, he went to his room, opened his window towards Jerusalem, and prayed three times a day. And his enemies were watching. He was thrown into the lion's den, but God shut the lion's mouth. Dear brothers and sisters, you find that throughout the ages, worship is the issue. Who is to be worshipped? Is God to be worshipped, or Satan to be worshipped? And if anyone is to worship God, Satan will try every way to get that worship away from God and to himself. This is the battle of the ages. But thank God, one day, one man came into this world, and his name was Jesus. And there you'll find our Lord Jesus was driven by the Holy Spirit into the desert to be tempted of the devil. You see, the scene is so different. Adam was in the Garden of Eden, a beautiful garden, a garden of plenty, a garden of pleasure, the best environment that God had provided for man. And Christ, he was in the wilderness, barren, with nothing, only animals there, in the worst of all environments. But Adam failed when he was tempted. And yet the second man, Christ, when he was tempted by the devil, and you'll find the temptations came to the consummation. And the consummation actually was worship. All the other things are just the fringes. The real issue is over this matter of worship. So finally Satan came out with boldness. Satan showed our Lord Jesus the whole world, all the kingdoms of the world. And Satan said, all these are mine. Of course, that is a lie. But he said, all these are mine. Just bow down and worship me, and you will have them all. And you remember what the Lord said? Satan, get me behind. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him alone shalt thou serve. And there you'll find our Lord Jesus overcame Satan. In this matter of worship, he declared that God alone is to be worshipped, not Satan. Dear brothers and sisters, this is the declaration of our Lord Jesus. He declares that God alone is to be worshipped. And this is the testimony of the new man. We who are in Christ Jesus, we have this testimony with us. And our testimony is simply this: God alone is to be worshipped. go back to the Old Testament. You'll find God deliver His people out of Egypt. God brought the children of Israel to the Mount of Sinai. And there you'll find God give them the Ten Commandments. But as you read the Ten Commandments, you'll find the two, or the three, or the four. The first tablet, the first table of stone, is really concerning this matter of worship. Why? Because the first commandment said, "Thou shalt have no other gods beside me." The second commandment said, "Thou shalt not make any graven image, and thou shalt not bow down and worship these graven image." Why? Because God alone is to be worshipped. God redeemed a people in order that they may be a worshipping people, that they may worship God as they should. Hear, Israel, Jehovah thy God is one God. Jehovah is God. Thou shalt love Jehovah thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength. God gave everything to His people. But there is one thing that God will never give away, and that is His glory or His worship. Brothers and sisters, our God gave us everything. There is nothing that He will not give us. But there is one thing He will never give up. He will not share with us. And that is His worship, His glory. This is the controversy between God and His people Israel. If you read the history of the children of Israel, you'll find that the controversy there is only upon this matter of worship. The children of Israel, they should worship God, and yet how they became unfaithful and they became idol worshippers. It was an abomination in the eyes of God. And how God pleaded with them, how God disciplined them, only on this one matter of worship. Where did they fail God? They failed God in worship. What was God's controversy with them? Just over this matter of worship. It is not over many issues or many things. It is all centered upon this matter of worship. And finally, they were taken into Babylonian captivity because they committed abominations. That is, they worship idols. But thank God, in Babylonian captivity, the children of Israel were healed of their idol worshiping. And also we find, by God's grace, a remnant return to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. Now, what is the temple? The temple is the symbol of worship. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, just remember that worship is the issue. You come to the New Testament and you find the same thing. Why? Because with the children of Israel, God gave them commandments. God demanded worship from them. They should worship God and nobody else, and nothing else. And they failed. But in the New Testament, with the church today, we are not only given the command to worship God, We are given the life to worship God. The children of Israel were under law. And that means they knew they should worship God. They were demanded to worship God. And they should try their best to worship God, that they will not be enticed away from worshiping God. And they failed. But we who are in the New Testament, we are under grace. And what is grace? Grace means God not only demands, but He gives us the life first. And because He gives us the life, therefore, we are able to respond to God's demand. The life, dear brothers and sisters, that we receive when we believe in the Lord Jesus is a worshiping life. Remember, the life we receive is the life of Christ. And the life of Christ is a worshiping life. How our Lord Jesus worshiped God throughout His life. Not only when He was tempted in the wilderness, He said, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him alone shalt thou serve." But you'll find throughout His life, the life of our Lord Jesus is a life of worship. Whether in His action or in His reaction, in His relationship, or in His daily life, in His words, in His deeds, you'll find that the whole life of our Lord Jesus is a worshiping life. He worshiped the Father in spirit and in truth throughout His life. No matter how He was tempted, no matter how He was attacked, you'll find He worshiped God in all circumstances, at any every time. And especially, you'll find what a worship it was when He was on the cross. First, you'll find the enemy tried to give our Lord the whole world. If you worship Me, you'll get the whole world. But our Lord Jesus said, no. The Father is more important than the world. The Father is to be worshipped. How often Satan tried to use the world to get our worship. What is the world? The world is not just what you see. The world is not just these things that will attract the lust of your eyes, the lust of your flesh, or the pride of life. The world is not just a society or an organization. We know the world is a cosmos, is a system. And Satan organized a system in order to get our worship. That is what the world is. That's the reason why the Bible says, love not the world. Because if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. Whatever you love, you worship. If you love the world, you worship the world. But in worshiping the world, you're worshiping Satan. If you love the Father, you worship the Father. And Satan tried to use the world to get a worship from our Lord Jesus. He failed. So finally he tried to stir up the world to reject and to crucify Christ. He thought he succeeded. But brothers and sisters, review the scene of Calvary. There you'll find our Lord Jesus was rejected by the world. The world was offered to Him. He rejected it. Now the world rejected Him. And He was crucified on the cross. But while He was there on the cross, He said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. At 12 o'clock, when darkness filled the heavens and the earth, he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And around 3 o'clock, he shouted, it is finished. And with a loud voice, he said, Father, I commit my soul, my spirit to you. What is that? That's worship. Even on the cross, you find our Lord Jesus was worshiping the Father. There is no place where worship is manifested so fully as on Calvary's cross. Here was a man who worshiped God even on the cross. Brothers and sisters, the life that we receive from God is this life. We have a worshiping life in us. We have a life in us that worship God. We have a life in us that rejects the world. We have the life in us that worship God even on the cross. This is the life that we begin with. And because we begin with this life in us, it is different than the people in the Old Testament time. We begin on a higher ground. In this battle, in this spiritual warfare, we are on the higher ground. In other words, we fight from victory to victory. Christ has already overcome Satan over this issue of worship. Therefore, we start from the ground of victory in this matter of worship. We worship God and God alone. This is our testimony. What is the testimony of the church? The testimony of the church is God is alone to be worshipped. The world said, worship Satan. But the church says, worship God. This is where you see the conflict. The conflict is going on not only on earth, but the conflict is going on even in the unseen world. Review the history of the church. You read the book of Acts. Because the book of Acts is the history of the early church. And what do you see there? You see, the church begins as a worshiping church. How they persevered in the teaching and the fellowship of the apostles, in the breaking of bread and in prayer. How they loved one another. How they exalted the name of our Lord. How they rejoiced in the grace of God. In other words, as you look into the church, you'll find here on earth, there is a vessel on earth. And that corporate vessel called the church is a vessel of worship. There you'll find they are worshiping God, exalting Christ, obeying the Lord. Would Satan just stand by and do nothing? No. You'll find even from the very beginning how the Jewish council, the highest judicial authority in Judaism, the religious authority, not the civil authority, but in the beginning it was the religious authority, that Judaism, that's supposed to worship God And it was that authority that began to attack first. They took Peter and James and John. They forbade the apostles to preach in the name of the Lord Jesus. The conflict was there. And you remember the apostle said, to obey God or to obey man? Which you can decide yourself. But what we have seen and heard, we cannot but preach. Attack from outside, from the religious world. And then very soon you'll find Satan try to cause problems within. Ananias and Sapphira. The distribution of relief of food to the widows. Satan try every means, both inside and outside, trying to destroy that testimony, trying to get worship away from God, that he might have the worship. But dear brothers and sisters, the church goes on. The church is the church triumphant. There you'll find throughout the ages, it has been and it still is the testimony of the church that God alone is to be worshipped. The church does not have an easy time. Even towards the end of the first century, you'll find in the writings of the apostles Peter, Paul, and John how there was a general falling away. A falling away from first love. God was not worshipped as he should. People began to fall into the world. Even Demas loved the world and went to Thessalonica. Brothers and sisters, here you'll find it was the beginning of a falling away. But thank God, there was always that call of overcomers. And who are these overcomers? They are those who overcome the world. They are those who worship God as they should. Throughout the centuries, in the history of the church, you find that this is the issue. Many suffer for one reason only, over this matter of worship. And whoever will give God all the worship, he can be expected not only attacked by the world, but even by the religious world. Of course, as you come to the book of Revelation, you know the book of Revelation, if you read it, you'll find it is a book of worship. Why? Because worship is the issue. And when you come to the end, that issue will be forever settled. But before that issue is to be forever settled, outwardly, it has to be first settled spiritually and inwardly. That is to say, God has to get a worshiping people on earth today. And their worship will bring down the kingdom of the enemy. Their worship will prepare the way for the kingdom of God to come upon this earth. so the issue of worship will be forever settled. And that's the reason why you find our Lord Jesus said, the Father is seeking for worshipers, true worshipers, those who worship Him in spirit and in truth. The book of Revelation is a book of worship. You read the first chapter and you'll find John. John wrote this book in a worshiping spirit. Oh, he said, He loves us, God loves us, and washes us with the blood, and has made us a kingdom and priest unto God. To Him be the glory and the might forever and forever. Amen. John wrote this book of Revelation in the spirit of worship. Why? Because he saw. He saw that God was going to get all the worship. You come to Revelation chapter 4 and you'll find the four living creatures saying day and night, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. 24 elders bowing before the throne. Why? Because Thou hast created all things, and all things are created for Thy pleasure. We see the glory of the Creator. And when you see the glory of the Creator, you cannot help but worship Him. And when you come to chapter 5, you see the Lamb standing in the midst of the throne as newly slain. And again you'll find a new song being sung, Thou art worthy. Because Thou hast purchased people from all people, nations, tongues, and tribes, a people unto Yourself, and hast made them kings and priests unto God. And you'll find this worship was not only done by those who are redeemed, but all the angelic host. And even the call come to all the created beings that they should worship God, who sits on the throne, and the Lamb, who is in the midst of the throne, worship. You come to chapter 7, and you'll find there are numberless people, countless people, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They have the palms in their hands, and they give God and the Lamb all the glory. They are worshiping. You come to chapter 11, when the seventh trumpet is sounded. Immediately there's worship in heaven, because the kingdom of God is coming. You come to chapter 12, and you'll find the man child is being raptured to the throne. And while the earth will be in tribulation, there will be singing and worship in heaven. Chapter 14. You'll find 144,000 standing on Mount Zion, and they sing the song of the Lamb and of Moses. There again you'll find worship. You get to chapter 19 and you'll find hallelujah, hallelujah, and hallelujahs, because the marriage of the Lamb has come. Babylon has fallen. It's worship. And of course, when you come to the last chapter, you find it is so glorious that John somehow got lost. He was shown by the angel of all these glorious things. And he was so elated, he was so taken up, so excited, that he began to worship the angel. And immediately the angel said, now don't worship me. I'm but a fellow servant. Worship God God is to be worshipped. That's how the book of the Revelation is concluded. So, dear brothers and sisters, remember one thing. Worship is the issue of the ages. And we are the chosen vessel. The church is the chosen vessel to testify to the world, both the seen and the unseen world, that God alone is to be worshipped. How effective is our testimony? How sad it is when we find the church has fallen into the world. It is not just a matter of being worldly, the church being worldly. It is not just a simple matter of the church becoming like a great institution in the world. Why? Because at the back, there is a matter of worship there. When the church falls into the world and becomes worldly, who is worshipped? God is deprived of his worship. And Satan is worshipped. It is a serious matter. Brothers and sisters, it is not only a serious matter corporately, of course, it is a serious matter personally too. We have to decide before the Lord who is to be worshipped. You remember one day Elijah on Mount Carmel? He challenged the children of Israel, the chosen people of God. Why do you hold between two opinions? If Jehovah is God, follow him. It has to be settled. Brothers and sisters, is this matter of worship a settled issue in your life? Are you still holding between two opinions? God or the world? No man can serve two masters. You either love the one or despise the other. No man can serve both God and mammon. Where's your heart? Remember, if you choose to worship God, it is natural. Why? Because you have his life in you. And if you worship God, you'll find fulfillment. In the world, it is natural for people to worship Satan, because that's their life. But with us, it will be most unnatural if we still love the world and allow the world to take away our worshiping God. We need to be before the Lord as individuals, as well as a corporate vessel, and declare that God alone is to be worshipped. It is true. It will be costly. You will find you will be tempted. You will find you will be assaulted. But thank God, our Lord Jesus has already overcome. And this overcoming life is in us. So we will overcome. And we will worship God. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we do acknowledge that Thou alone is worthy to be worshipped. Thou wilt not share Thy worship with anybody, because Thou art the only one. And our Father, we do praise and thank Thee, because we see in Christ Thou hast got that worship which is Thy due. He has given it to Thee. And we praise and thank Thee that this life is today in us. Our Father, by the life of our Lord Jesus, we declare that we worship Thee. And Thee alone will we serve. We ask Thee, O Lord, that this may be a settled issue in our life. Do not allow us to vacillate, halt between two opinions. Lord, we have chosen Thee. We have chosen to worship Thee. And we do pray that as we worship Thee, that Thou will bless us with joy, with fulfillment, with fullness. And we do pray that Thou would deliver us from the evil one. Though we be tempted, yet we shall overcome, because Thou art God, worthy to be praised. In the name of our Lord Jesus, amen.